From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, July 24th, 2012. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in San Diego, California.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, also in San Diego.
This week, we offer our annual look at the ESRI International User Conference plenary session held today, Monday, July 23rd. We'll share our key observations and opinions after a word from our sponsor.
National security, cyber warfare, energy independence. These are the topics of the first Geo Huntsville Conference that will be produced by Directions Magazine this November 8th and 9th in Huntsville, Alabama. Formerly the Rocket City Geospatial Conference, this regional event will draw a large audience of senior technologists from the defense industry and the business community. Find more information at www.geohuntsville.com and join us this November.
So, Joe, we spent this morning and early afternoon in the main hall at the San Diego Convention Center with 15,000 ESRI users from all over the world. And what we want to do is try to pull out our key observations and what interested us. So let's start with you. What jumped out at you in these sessions?
Well, there was a heavy emphasis on 3D and 3D visualization. They made the comment that 3D appears all over all of the software, at least, and that's what's coming up and really what they've been talking about for quite some time. They mentioned the fact that the speed of the rendering will be key in some of the future releases, but the ability to bring in content very quickly was something they emphasized. Fast texturing, what I would call ultra-fast slippy maps, having 2D and 3D views simultaneously displayed. This all goes back to the geodesign effort that Jack Dangeman has been pushing for a number of years. They did several demos of City Engine, which was a software acquired from Procedural last year at this time. So a very heavy emphasis on 3D visualization was a key theme.
It was, and what surprised me was, even though ESRI seems very excited about it, I didn't get the reaction from the audience that I thought I might.
You know, I wonder if that stems somewhat from the fact that they have seen this before. It isn't a new thing that they've brought out at the conference. I think that the company is very excited about it because maybe they're more fully integrating it into ArcGIS. So I think from their point of view, they felt very comfortable with the fact that they're progressing in their integration. Maybe it's incremental, so it may not have seemed like such a whiz-bang wow to the audience.
That sounds pretty fair, but it's certainly maturing and has over the years, which
yes,
is really nice to see. It's, I guess the way I'd put it is, it's real.
Indeed.
I think the big term that was used in the opening session as Jack Dangeman tried to lay out the vision for this year, the word that kept coming up over and over again was pervasive, how GIS and mapping and this spatial way of thinking and geography is now pervasive in a way that it hasn't been. And that sort of dovetailed with this idea that enables, geography as a platform, enables the removal of silos within organizations so that the data that was inaccessible becomes accessible, data gets integrated in ways that it hasn't before, that can ultimately change and empower the enterprise to do more, be more successful, and so forth. And of course, the underlying technology to do that is ArcGIS Online. And what struck me as ESRI went through what seemed to be the same sort of demo over and over again, connecting different clients up with ArcGIS Online, was that we've been trying to solve this problem. ESRI has been trying to solve this problem. The GIS community has been trying to solve this problem with all different kinds of tools pretty much since GIS came onto the scene. So we tried it with a viewer like ArcView 1, GIS for everybody. Let's get that data out there. The very first inklings into web mapping and then web GIS with things like ArcIMS and ArcGIS Server. And certainly the OGC has come at it with the standards kind of solution to, again, bring all this data together, get it out, get it used. And here we are with the next technology solution to this problem, which is ArcGIS Online. So I have to ask, how is this different from what came before, and is it different enough to really take us to that next level? And my thinking sort of goes like this. It is different. It's hosted in the cloud. That's new and different from everything that came before. It's supported on more platforms. It's got many more clients, including Excel. That opens things up to a whole nother level. But I think the ultimate argument is that ArcGIS Online is going to be easier to sell to those C-level executives than any of this other technology.
In any advancement of technology into what we would call consumerization, there has to be a catalyst. And I think for us in GIS, that catalyst has been many small incremental steps. It's everything that you just said, cloud, mobile, the ability to create platforms that are easier to use. There hasn't been any one big thing, like you could say that the PC back in the 80s was a huge leap forward for innovation and productivity. We have taken many small incremental steps to get to this point. So while it may not be one huge catalyst, I think we have many that we can point to that are making it as pervasive as you say.
So do you think ArcGIS Online is going to be at least more successful than that other trail of technologies that I listed?
It appears to be an easier platform to configure, if nothing else. So I'm not sure I can answer the question. I think it's got potential to support the notion of pervasiveness.
Fair enough.
So I want to go on to another one of these themes, and the themes are almost word plays. We've had pervasive. This is another one that I've come up with that I heard him mention. It's called transformational opportunities. And he's getting at the issue of geography as a platform. Now, he made a statement on Sunday at the Senior Executive Seminar where he said, we begin to deliver geography as a platform. You know, he said this many times. To me, this statement ought to give people pause, but I want to explain why I think most people misunderstand what he means. This isn't ArcGIS Online, what he's talking about. It's not Google Maps as a web service. It's not even other web services. It's not a platform. It's not by throwing a map on a BI dashboard. It's none of that. Dangerman believes that you base your performance indices on a fundamental premise that location-based data is inherent and strategic. Forget about the technology. Understand what this means to your processes and your operations. That's geography as a platform. We're being thrown at and inundated by products, visualizations, all of this stuff. That's not geography as a platform, as I believe he's trying to convey to the audience. It's a deeper understanding of being an inherent and strategic piece of information to your organization.
Wow, and that's a really big idea that I think you're quite correct in arguing is overshadowed by the technology and the products and the clients and so forth. And I think maybe that vision of it being sort of this fundamental part of the way you look at your business, including government as a business, mm-hmm. sort of ties back to this idea of spatial literacy, this sort of core
Absolutely.
Way that we look at the world, which really has nothing to do, as you point out, nothing to do specifically with the technology. The technology can help you do that, but you've got to have this way of thinking, this way of looking at the world. And I think you're exactly right. I think I didn't get that when he talked about it today. So, good one. You really had to look around the corner and between the lines to pull that out. I was amused that when, yet again, we saw how you could take a comma-delimited file or an Excel file and either drop the file on and have all the data pop up on the map, or take your Excel spreadsheet and hook it up to ArcGIS Online and get a map, everybody cheered. And we've seen this already multiple times, and we've been hearing about ArcGIS for Microsoft Office for some time. We knew this was coming, and yet every time people see it, they get excited. And it's a really fascinating thing. I'm trying to figure out why that we keep coming back to this and we're so tied to it. And I talked to a bunch of folks during the breaks and during lunch, and many of them pointed to that as the one thing that they're going to go back and do when they get back in the office. Okay, so what is going on with that? Well, I think it's a reflection of the fact that as much as we push forward with the technology and the analytics and the sharing of data, an awful lot of us are still putting dots on maps, and it's still too hard. And this is not too hard. And in parallel, as somebody put it to me, it's not too scary either, especially if you're in Excel, which is a platform you know and love and have been using forever and is all across your corporate existence or your academic existence. So I think that is making it very exciting. And I think it's a brilliant move for ESRI, in a sense, to have waited this long to make it that easy with the connection to ArcGIS Online, because it's going to be the introduction for many people, first of all, to GIS, and those really, the maps that you get using the Office solution are elegant because they're pulling all the base maps from ArcGIS Online. It's going to be their introduction to GIS for one, and their introduction to ArcGIS Online for two, and that's huge.
Yeah, when you think about all of the students who have to learn Excel, and there will now be this ability to hit the ribbon bar and drop in a map. That gets very interesting. Kids are learning Excel spreadsheets and how to use them at a much earlier age. Now they're going to be able to use maps at a much earlier age. It'll force the issue of spatial literacy much, much forward at a much, much quicker age. It'll force teachers to become much more geographically literate at a time when these kids are far outpacing them. So yeah, I think it was a great move. It's not new, right? We've seen this back in the early 90s with the map info button that didn't go very far. We've seen it even more recently with Google Fusion Tables.
Right.
I just think Excel looks a little bit more easier to use than Fusion Tables does. So they made a great advancement here.
They did, and it's a great business opportunity.
Yeah.
It sort of forces the issue of ArcGIS Online. If you're not sure how you're going to use it in your organization yet exactly,
right,
you know,
right,
you're going to use this part because
right,
you know you're using Excel and PowerPoint all the time.
The last thing I want to mention of our big three here is we'd be remiss if we didn't mention something about the cloud. And again, Jack makes a statement, cloud GIS integrates all sorts of geospatial data, sensor nets, social media, web maps, make this all widely accessible. The cloud model changes the discussion and breaks down the barriers of different workflows and brings them all together. This enables us to work closer and share together. Again, it's a recurring theme. We want to have a collaborative effort. The cloud makes a lot of this feasible. It's one of those incremental changes that has to happen. The problem is that I still hear is a challenge with language. And pushing this notion of sharing and opportunity, and I'm not sure we're talking the right language yet. We're here with 15,000 people. We all talk the same language. We know GIS. We can explain it to each other. I'm not sure we can explain it to the next person. It's like if you push the United States next to Croatia. Proximally, we're very close. But we don't speak the same language. And I've had this problem, and many times I've had this discussion with, why don't business people get this? Oh, we're going to have this in the cloud. Yeah, but you don't understand what it can do. So I think we have a language barrier, and I think this pervasiveness is all great and grand, but we got to talk the language a little differently.
We need to talk like they listen.
We need to listen to them.
To understand their language.
To understand their language.
And then use
better.
It in the context of bringing this pervasive
right.
spatial vision.
Or the cloud isn't going to do us any good. The integration isn't going to do us any good. If we're all taking different languages and we're all on parallel paths, and we're talking over or through or under, we're not going to push this forward much further.
Do you think the connection to Microsoft Office is going to be the beginning of those conversations?
Well, I think that's a possibility. I think that does open a little bit of doors because people will put their hands on it. Okay, they'll touch it. Touching ArcGIS Online is a different animal. Touching Google Earth is even a different animal for most people. So this may be able to open up the conversation a little bit sooner than normal.
I think it's going to help, but we definitely still have those barriers.
Yep.
That's absolutely true. Okay, the last point that I want to make has to do with the sneak peek we had into the next set of technology that's coming down the pike. Scott Morehouse and his team talked a little bit about what's to come. There were sort of two parts. One was about a series of new viewers that are coming. The other was about the 3D that you've already mentioned. And these viewers are very interesting. First of all, they're coming soon this fall, so it's not too far away. And while they're called viewers, they're really more than that, because it's not just a viewer of data, it's a configurable environment specific to each individual platform. It's native. And the idea is that non-programmers can pull together some widgets which point to some real-time data and some background maps and the like, and you can build a custom app. Now, that app seems to be very small because you can share it via email. And from what I deciphered, when you receive it, you basically turn it on and it points to all that source data, some of which I imagine is coming from ArcGIS Online, some is coming from some real-time sensors, like where are the buses and those kinds of things, and it just magically works. And we saw these running on Android, and we saw them running on Mac OS, which ESRI has not been on for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And we saw it running on the iPad, and it was a...
Windows 8.
It was very elegant. And again, this is part of solving that ubiquity, that pervasiveness, is we've got to have it. We've got to have it native, and we've got to have it on that device that you're carrying around in your pocket. So that's I think that's a really big step. And I'm nervous about the language again, because calling it a viewer really, I think, diminishes. It's really an application. It's more than that.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I think it's one of the more exciting things that we've perhaps seen, because it has the opportunity for individual vertical markets to take advantage of that configurability and push the dialogue further. When we saw some of the demos of the people that were actually in a particular industry, it got very exciting, because for many years we've talked about the mobility of the field workforce and bringing GIS to the field, and these platforms look a little bit more configurable. There was an awful lot of software development on mobile platforms 10 years ago. Looked great. A lot of people bought into them. Here, there is one of those incremental changes, because the APIs are easier to configure. You can get something set up relatively quickly, and what you deliver on a mobile device it seems to be much more elegant.
Yeah, they look great. They were fast. And just to be complete here, developers certainly can build their own custom widgets to add into these applications. So it's not just for the non-programmer; it's also for developers. And I think that's going to make a lot of people very happy. And they're going to have it here in the exhibit hall. So I'm certainly going to take a look and get some more information on that.
Well, that's all the time we have. We hope you enjoyed our discussion about the ESRI plenary sessions. From us here at Directions, you can follow all the news from the ESRI User Conference with more information and live updates at directionsmag.com/channels/ESRI. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.